Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation. Hey, City Church. Welcome to More Than That, where we sit down with whoever was preaching this past Sunday, and we just ask them to take 10 more minutes and discuss what they would have if they had that extra 10 minutes. So I'm here with Pastor Gustin Bird. So
present.
So Gus, what would you have done, or where would you have gone if you had 10 extra minutes on Sunday?
Well, it was a bit of a struggle this week, because I did want to focus on marriage more in the text, because it is such a, there's so much depth to it. The issue is, though, like, you only have so long, and if I would have focused on that, I would have been primarily outside of Exodus 10, which wouldn't have been bad. Just, you know, we were going through Exodus 10 that day. So in light of marriage being so prevalent in the Bible, we could have gone Genesis, Revelation, and sat and marveled for a while. And I thought it would have been cool to do that, just to kind of put the Exodus and the plagues in context of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is so much more depth when we view the relationship, Christianity more as a relationship. Yes, it is a religion, and there are, you know, religious aspects that we should be practicing, you know, not necessarily rituals, but ways that we are called to practice, you know, like habits, you know, we should be reading our Bible, we should be praying regularly, we should be going to church, we should be within community. A lot of people would view these things as religious, but they're just, you know, a part of, call them religion if you want, but really they're just, when you are adopted into God's family, which is technically a relational concept, you know, what does, as part of God's family, what are we called to do? What does being in God's family look like? And it is praying daily, often reading the Bible, often connecting with other believers, often. But that's not just a New Testament concept. To say that more, it's not just a New Testament concept. I mean, it is, because the order of salvation, you know, we often stop at justification. You know, you're elected, and you're regenerated, and you're converted, and then you're justified, and we often stop there. Yay, you know.
Yeah.
Our sins are paid for at the cross, but it doesn't stop there. Through Christ, right, we call it the cross event, because it covers not just the death, but also the resurrection and his life.
Yeah.
We are adoptable, and God does adopt us into his family, and that, you know, now we have this open, honest father-son, father-daughter relationship that's completely open and honest and full of grace, because, you know, if it was just God and subject, you know, we have to be careful and we have to be righteous, otherwise we will receive the wrath of God. But as God's children, you know, it better explains how we're able to pray so openly, how we're able to lament so openly, how we're able to confess and not fear and have the assurance of pardon. But again, that's not just a New Testament concept. The reason why God was slow to anger and abounding in faithful love, not just was because of who he is, but he also, that's because he was married to the Israelites. He was, it was a husband-wife relationship. And when you look at the Old Testament in that light, it breaks my heart how often, how often technically the Israelites cheated on God, mm-hmm. and how often, you know, they were a complaining spouse, and how God gave them grace upon grace, and they still complained, and he provided for them so well, and he protected them, and they still wandered, and they still,
mm-hmm.
and when our call to worship, you have not treated us as we rightfully deserve, and that's why God gave us the book of Hosea, where, you know, it literally says, you know, this is the relationship I have with you.
Yeah.
You know, and the wife constantly goes off and prostitutes herself over and over. And even a lot of people don't realize this, but, you know, Jeremiah 3:8, I observed that it was because unfaithful Israel had committed adultery that I sent her away and gave her a certificate of divorce. Like, God,
jeez.
I mean, God, you know, remarried and recommitted his relationship with Israel, but, like, he was so heartbroken and he had been cheated on so often with Israel that he was just like, you know, but that just goes again to show his grace, that he was able, that he did re-covenant with Israel. Like, he didn't give up on Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he didn't owe Israel anything, especially after he divorced them.
Yeah.
Even if that's just an analogy that God was using, and, you know, that's a whole different topic that we could get into. But just the fact that that's the plain reading of the text, that he divorced her. But he still was so gracious and still so pursuing and still so merciful to them. Just really goes to show the depth of faithful love he has, and the overflowing grace that he has, and the mercy that he has, and how jealous he is, you know, looking at Exodus, why he did what he did was because he, if you look at it as a husband-wife relationship, he, you know, he was punching the lights out of the other gods, you know, if they were actually real, to show that, to win the love of his wife.
Mm, yeah.
And it just, you know, it's not, it is a kind of a, it does romanticize Exodus a little bit, but it also shows, you know, you can make it a little mushy, but it's also, I don't know what I want to say there, but it just really helps put into context, I think, the why. It wasn't just God versus the Egyptians, because he could have wiped out the Egyptians.
Yeah, easily.
And the world would have said, well, you know, their gods would have protected them.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't just, you know, God versus the Egyptians, or God versus Pharaoh, or God versus the Egyptian gods. It was, mm-hmm. you know, Israel, you cheated on me with these other gods. They are... they are nothing compared to me. I deserve your devotion, not them. You know, and trying to win their heart. It's just, not to sound mushy, but it's just a beautiful drama.
Yeah.
And like C.S. Lewis calls it, like, real myth. It's just a beautiful story to.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we love the story so much, is because it other stories, other dramas, other movies that kind of follow that line. There's a reason why they're popular, is because they resonate with truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could have easily spent not just 10 extra minutes, but the whole sermon on that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of, like, the, back in, like, middle school, where you're, like, trying to win over the girl, and you're just, like, showing off like crazy, and it's just, like, that's kind of, like, what God was doing. He's, like, quite literally showing off for the Israelites, mm-hmm. trying to win their heart to the point of, like, literally eating a snake. Like, having a staff, a piece of wood turn into a snake, and then eating another snake. Like, that... I mean, I don't know if you could get any more show-offy in terms of, like, that middle school type of relationship.
Look at my sneakers. They light up.
I get the next pair of Jordans, man.
Yeah.
These don't even come out until next year.
Yeah.
Like, just stuff like that. Like, it just kind of brings it. It brings it home and takes us back into that that butterfly type of mm-hmm. type of love, affection that we have for Christ whenever we first encounter him.
Mm-hmm.
So it just kind of, it brings that together.
Yeah, I think it also, there's the full breadth of attraction there. Like, if you're mm-hmm. a mushy person, there's so much romance and drama in this.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a, using a military term, grunt, and you just, like, cut and dry, just punch the guy's lights out, you did that, Baal didn't have a chance, or Ra didn't have a chance to, shine light, shine his sun. I created the sun, so even if you're the god of the sun, I created the sun, so what does that make you?
Yeah.
It's so there's the full range, so whatever, it's not just a, I think might not be using myopic, is that the right term? Where very narrow sighted.
I think so. I'm not super. I'm not super. I was trying up to show off to the Oculus stuff. Like,
I was trying to show off to the apologetic. Yeah. It's not just a single. It's so multifaceted, and just like you could sit there for an hour or for your lifetime, like rotating a well cut diamond, and mm-hmm. seeing a new color, a new shimmer of light. And you just keep doing that with a story, Christian story.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah, it's not 100 miles wide and an inch deep. It's 100 miles wide and 100 miles deep, and you're still going.
Yep. That's just the surface.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we did get a question, though, from somebody that was watching the sermon, and just regarding the plagues.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some, what seems like some parallels between what goes on between Israel and Moses and Aaron and Pharaoh
mm-hmm.
and the plagues, and how the plagues just devastated Egypt and Jesus's life. So do you see any other parallels to the plagues, or in other parallels in the plagues to the life or crucifixion of Jesus, like water into wine and the Nile turning into blood?
Right. So yes. Short answer. There is what's fascinating is if you look at the book of John, it does kind of read like a court document. Like, he's presenting an open mm-hmm. opening statement to unbelievers, and most of whom would have been Jewish heritage. And if you were trying to convince somebody of something, you would try to make it as relatable as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, mm-hmm. you know, if I'm talking to a mechanic about something, I'm going to try to use mechanical concepts to best relay the message. And so, if you look at the book of John as a court document trying to convince somebody of, like, hey, Jesus is the Messiah that you've been waiting for, you know, and you would, of course, try to use terms and concepts that they would understand. So it would only make sense that, well, it would make sense that you would, that he would use the Exodus story as to kind of relate that. Not that he's manipulating the story, he's just formatting it in that way. So yeah. the first plague in for the Exodus is, you know, turn the Nile, turn the water into blood.
Mm-hmm.
The first first miracle Jesus did in the book of John is turning water into wine.
Mm-hmm.
So one in the Exodus brings death, but Jesus brings life, celebration. Mm-hmm. Another parallel is the hail and the locust destroyed barley
mm-hmm.
crops, not just barley crops, but specifically, you know, highlights that.
Yeah.
In the book of John, when he feeds the 5,000, he specifically highlights that there were 5 barley loaves.
Mm-hmm.
So barley and barley. So one gets, you know, again, Exodus brings, there's death, but Jesus brings life.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can look either at Lazarus in John 11 or just the resurrection of Jesus. You can parallel that with the death of the firstborn.
Mm-hmm.
Again, death and Jesus bringing yeah. life. So there is there's certainly a parallel, and it's not a left field kind of concept that Jesus, there, the parallels are there, and not just, you know, I just highlighted Matthew, I think chapter 24 with, and then Luke 22, I think, with the 3 hours of darkness
mm-hmm.
and the 3 days of darkness.
Yeah, that 3-day motif.
Yeah. Thing.
Yeah.
It's also more than that. You have the, if you look at Matthew as a whole and Israel as a whole, there's 40 years in the wilderness. Jesus spent 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
So Matthew more looks at Jesus, arguing that Jesus is the real Israel, and that mm-hmm. you know, God will be glorified throughout all the earth through, you know, in the Old Testament is Israel, New Testament is Jesus. So,
yeah.
Because Israel had failed or fallen short,
yeah,
you know, Jesus is going to come and fulfill that. So there is definitely multiple instances. It wasn't just that one, but again, I only have so long
up there. Yeah, that in and of itself, after doing some in-depth study on just the resurrection itself, I mean, I spent an entire semester with my students at Lake Humming doing just the resurrection.
Mm.
And that's like almost an hour every week just talking about one little aspect of the resurrection. And you had an entire chapter of Exodus, and there was tons of stuff in there.
Yeah.
So yeah, that keeping it isolated is no small feat.
Yeah. It's so much fun.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's also cool too. Like, it's not just things like that, like the darkness. Just speaking of the resurrection, like the darkness that is talked about in the gospel accounts
mm-hmm.
was also recorded by other people.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool when you think about, like, okay, well, the Bible's, you know, I believe what the Bible says because I'm a Christian, but is there anything else
mm-hmm.
that is corroborating what the Bible is saying? And there's this dude, Thallus, that within the first couple centuries wrote about the darkness that was at roughly noon, and it was piercing, like you said, it was the dark.
Yeah.
So it had that same type of feeling, and it's just crazy to think that some Roman historian experienced the exact same thing that the Israelites and the Egyptians experienced.
Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. There's no scriptural correlation here, but just when you were talking about that, like when we get married, what do we exchange? You know, a physical thing to represent what's going on, something that, you know, if we ever doubt, are we actually married, we can look at it like, yep, I am.
Yep.
You know, for God to give us something that is so concrete and verifiable and, you know, you could, in a sense, reach out and touch it.
Yeah.
Just kind of reiterates the kind of husband-wife relationship covenant that we have, how reliable, and it's just awesome.
yeah Well, there's, I mean, even just thinking about the ring, like looking at mine right now, yeah, there's like little imperfections in it, but there's no corners, there's no like, it, there's no like sharp turns and bends where it's like, okay, well, I only like you up until this point. And then I'm going to take a sharp left. And okay, I like you up until this point. Take a sharp left. Like, it's just all-encompassing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, that's... Just the whole marriage thing with Scripture is just fascinating.
Yeah.
So, it was really, really cool, especially after going through the marriage course that we have here. And I know you just went through it as well.
Yeah.
So, I was, like, drawing those lines. Like, ah. He read Ray's book.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's another...
Yep.
That's a whole another half.
Yes,
hour.
It is. Yeah. Well, thanks, Gus, for everything. Thank you for your sermon on Sunday. It was great. I know I personally enjoyed it a lot. So, yeah, thank you again so much for all that you do here and for us here at City Church. And we'll see you all next week.
Have a blessed time.